Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:02 on a Wednesday night. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. John Johnson, the owner of 42 consecutive push-ups on the updates tonight. You guys with us. 888-729-9494. Oh, boy, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We just did a full hour on the Sixers as they hit the quarter mark. And you know what? We do the hot stove check-in at 9 o'clock, but tonight's going to kind of be a three-hour hot stove check-in because the Philadelphia Phillies today went out and gave out one of the biggest contracts they ever have, improved their pitching staff, and really weakened a division rival as well by signing Zach Wheeler, 5 years, $118 million. Going to bring on John Jastrzemski, who does shows up in New York and knows Wheeler very well. At 8 o'clock, talk about what he thinks there on the signing, how good he thinks this guy actually is. And 9 o'clock, Scott Lauber for the full hot stove check-in. Wild day around baseball. Wild day for the Phillies. They strike quickly. On a day that Cole Hamels goes to the Atlanta Braves, the Phillies give Zach Wheeler $118 million. Look, I want to get into a lot of things, and we'll kind of keep circling around and back to the Wheeler thing, and we'll take calls on that all night long. I'm not going to lie to you. My initial gut instinct is not great on the Wheeler thing. They are better with him than without him, obviously. He's an upgrade. The Phillies had an awful rotation behind Aaron Nola last year. But I think it's a very, very risky contract to give out to a guy that has been more potential than he has been substance in his major league career. He's had moments, he's had a couple good halves, but I am not a big fan of the contract. I like the pitcher. I think he could be a good one. Maybe he has some more good years and kind of be better in the second half of his career than the first half, but I am very skeptical of the contract the Phillies gave out. But Zach Wheeler is officially part of the Phillies rotation. 5 years, $118 million in ex-Met. His best 2 years, probably his last 2 years, and hits free agency at the age of 29. He'll be 30 when next year starts. So we'll get more into it and some really just amazing. When you kind of put his career in perspective for what the Phillies gave him, it's mind-boggling. I would say, and this isn't even a critique more than it's just a fact, he's the least accomplished $100 million pitcher in baseball history. I don't think anyone's ever done less before getting $100 million than Zach Wheeler. So that's the big news with the Phillies. And then, of course, we have an Eagles season that is still alive at 5-7. An Eagles season that, look, I think if we all could sit down right now and say that if there's one Eagles thing that you want, you could say the old, all I want for Christmas. All I want for Christmas from the Eagles, I think we all would say the same thing. Get on a run, surprise us all, make it like last year, run through the playoffs, and do something special, make us proud by the end of the year. Because last year, I was proud of the Eagles. At the end of the season, I remember being here the night after they lost to the Saints, and I said I'm proud of this football team. Because they, from where they were in the middle of the season to where they ended, up 14-0, and then really a drop away, which, ironically, that Alshon drop kind of foreshadowed this season. An Alshon drop away from the NFC title game maybe last year if they finished that off. But I was proud of where they were. I think if we all could have one wish, we would say that we want that again. Make a run, get in the playoffs, win a game, get to the Final Four, get to the divisional round, and I'll forgive whatever this season has been. I think we'd all want that. But because that is very unrealistic, like the idea of the Eagles making the playoffs, winning their first playoff game, which this year would be against possibly a 13 or a 14 win team, depending on who would come in here, and then going and playing very well in the divisional round, I put the odds on that is minuscule. So if that's off the table, I think there's two major things that could make us feel better over the next 4 weeks. Two major things, and I think at this point, no matter where you lie on Doug Peterson and his coaching, and where you lie on Carson Wentz and his play this year, I think it is fair to say that neither of those guys have had great seasons. Carson Wentz has not been a top 10 quarterback. I don't think he's been close to a top 10 quarterback. And Doug Peterson, for as much as I like Doug, and I don't think this year in totality is Doug's fault, he's not had a great year. I mean, just think about, mean, he came on these airwaves after the loss in Minnesota and guaranteed a win in Dallas. His team got embarrassed. He figured out a formula to win with the disjointed roster he had. And then the last 3 weeks fell out of that favor, moved away from the formula he created. On Sunday, he got into a shootout in Miami in a game that I don't believe needed to be that kind of game. I don't think Doug's had a great year. He's not gotten the most out of his quarterback. He's not gotten the most out of his offense. And he's got a 5-7 team. Like, this, it is what it is. When you have a 5-7 team, you haven't had a great year. And I think this goes, when you look around the league, it's very easy to say, well, DeSean Jackson got hurt. Well, this happened. What do you expect? How we had a bad offseason. And then you go look at Pittsburgh with Duck Hodges, and they're heading to the playoffs. They're 7-5. They're a playoff team right now. Mike Tomlin has had a way better year as a head coach than Doug Peterson and other coaches as well. So I think no matter where you stand on Doug, no matter where you stand on Carson, we can all find this much that is the truth. Neither have had great years. And as we look forward the rest of this year, barring a playoff run, those two things, Doug Peterson calming the doubts that have again popped up again about him, and I heard it a lot this week, and Carson Wentz quelling the doubts that have popped up about him all year, and I've led the charge of doubts because I doubt Carson Wentz. If you could choose one of those things down the stretch to rectify itself, to feel better about, which is it? For me, it's not even a question. It is Carson Wentz. Because this year is broken anyway. This year is broken. This team is broken. There's a lot of issues going into the offseason. But if I could close my eyes and say there's one thing down the stretch that changes, that makes me feel differently going into the offseason, I want to remove the doubts about Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz plays his best football the next 4 weeks, if he plays great football the next 4 weeks, I know it's, you know, three bad teams he's facing, Giants, Redskins, Giants. But if Carson Wentz lights it up the next 4 weeks, and the Eagles win three of those games, and they don't make the playoffs, but he lights it up in 4 weeks. He has big stats, big numbers, plays the position well, doesn't make mistakes. I will feel better. It will give me one less thing to worry about heading into the offseason. And let, make no mistake, both Doug and Carson right now are worries, and it's not just me saying it. It's not just people calling on WIP. This morning, Brian Baldinger, who breaks down tape for a living, was on with Angelo Cataldi, and listen to what he had to say about really the structure of this offense, Carson Wentz's role, and coaching. Here's Baldinger this morning.
It's clear that you're showing us with film that Wentz is not doing what he did 2 years ago. Why would he regress? It doesn't make any sense. As you get older, he's in his fourth year now. Shouldn't you be getting better, being able to read your offense a little bit better, being able to feel more confidence? Why is he going the other way?
Well, I think everybody has to be coached, and I think everybody has to be coached hard, Angelo. Huh. And some people take it, and some people don't. Now, I'm not saying Carson doesn't take coaching well, but he's not. His fundamentals are not sound. It leads to incompletions. It leads to his inability to sometimes read the coverage correctly. And I think everybody has to always go back to the fundamentals. Otherwise, they slip. And if you watch him throw off, you know, off balance a lot, throws his upper body a lot, you know, I think with John DeFilippo.
And that's it right there. The coaching aspect of this whole thing right there, along with Carson Wentz taking the coaching. I mean, Brian Baldinger does this for a living. He watches tape every week of every game. He's one of the best Twitter follows out there. And I hear him every week, either with Angelo or the afternoon show. And it's one thing to have an opinion on something. It's something to watch the film, understand the film, and say, this is what I'm seeing. And I trust that guy knows what he's seeing. And he has pointed out, all year pointed out, moments and areas where Carson Wentz has regressed. Look, if I could have one Eagles thing for the holiday season, you know what I want? I want a playoff run. But that's probably not coming. If I can't have that, what I want is Carson Wentz to progress, to stop the regression. To go back, I would love at the end of the year, and this is not going to happen because this never happens on sports radio or with any fan base. I would love at the end of the year, when we get into January and the eventual Wentz debates on WIP are about whatever the topic of the day is. I would love to have a consensus here where we all say, yeah, we still believe he's a top 10 quarterback. Because right now, there's no way the majority of people could believe that he's a top 10 quarterback this year. Tucker, do you believe that? When you watch him play, do you think we're watching a top 10 quarterback in the league? I don't.
No, we were watching a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, right? I mean, everyone expected this year, myself included, that he would perform at an elite level, right? Like, a lot of people expected the Eagles to be Super Bowl contenders, and the biggest reason for that was a lot of people expected Carson Wentz to return to MVP-type performance, and that just hasn't happened.
It has not happened. And if down the stretch of the season, we all want wins, that's the most important thing. But beyond that, more important for me than Doug, because I didn't like the way Doug coached the game on Sunday, but I think Doug Peterson's a very good coach, and he's proven to me in different years with different people, different situations, he can get this team to rally, and they could play their best football even under dire circumstances. I have more of a track record in my brain I can go back to. I could harken back to it and say, you know what, Doug, I still believe in Doug. I want all my Carson Wentz doubts to go away. That's all I want down the stretch of the season. It's more important than anything else outside of going on a run. The most important thing I want is Carson Wentz to play so well that I can't say anything but, man, he finished the season strong. Remember in 2015 when Sam Bradford had his run to end the season? Sam Bradford's last seven games? It turned out to not be a predictor of anything. It didn't turn out to be anything for the rest of his career, the rest of his Eagles career. But it was something that we felt good about heading into the offseason. Maybe it was silly, but like, Tucker, we felt good about that. We're like, all right, well, he played better at the end. Maybe that means he's going to play better in the next season. I want that with Wentz.
Yeah, and certainly with Sam Bradford, I think that was his sixth or seventh year.
Right.
Right, so by that point, there had been enough tape on him. Like, we kind of knew what Sam Bradford was. Carson Wentz remains somewhat of a mystery because of his injuries, because of how he's performed at so many different levels over the course of his career. But on the flip side, you know, comparing his future, his outlook with Doug Peterson, the reality is it's much easier to replace Doug Peterson than it is Carson Wentz, right? Like, there aren't elite coaches all over the NFL, but you can find a good coach, right? Like, good coaches are easy to come across. With quarterbacks, not only is Carson Wentz locked in here for the next 4 to 5 years, it's hard to find an elite quarterback who's capable of playing at the level Carson Wentz is capable of playing.
Well, it is. It's hard to find one that could play like he did in 2017. 888-729-9494. This season, logically, is lost. There's still a slight hope that they do something special and go on a run. But beyond that, if there's one thing I want out of the rest of the season, I want the doubts I have about Carson Wentz to go away. I know a lot of you out there have doubts about Doug Peterson. I have my doubts about Carson Wentz. If you could choose one to make those doubts go away, which one do you want to kind of be convinced about again? Doug or Carson? And they're tied together. They go hand in hand. That's obvious. But they aren't together at the same time. They are independent of each other. And Doug Peterson can get this team to the playoffs even without Carson Wentz playing great. They can win games without Carson Wentz playing great. Carson could play great. The team doesn't necessarily have to win. Like Sunday, he played pretty well. They lost. They're two different entities married together. If I could have one thing down the stretch, I want Carson Wentz to shut me up. I want Carson Wentz to make me feel good about where his career is going again. Because as you watch him this year, I think Tucker hit on the head. We're watching average quarterback play. Nothing special. Nothing great. I think it's rarely been bad. You know, he's had bad throws, bad moments, a bad game or two. He's not a bad quarterback, but we're watching more average. I don't want to walk away from the season saying Carson Wentz is an average quarterback. I don't want that. I want to go back to feeling Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, a very good quarterback, and has the potential and the ability and the trajectory to be great again. That's what I want out of the rest of the season. It's more important to me than Derek Barnett or the offensive line or any of this stuff. Like, we're going to pick apart every little thing down the stretch and say, well, is this guy a keeper? Is that guy a keeper? How many moves do they have to make? Who do they have to get out of here? Look, all the moves they might make this offseason, it's all very, very tiny compared to Carson Wentz's future. It really is. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things compared to the quarterback. He's going to be here. He has to be their best player moving forward. And I have my doubts that he is. 888-729-9494. If you can have one thing, Carson quiet the doubters or Doug quiet the doubters down the stretch, what is it? Frank is in Roxburgh. Hey, Frank.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Joe.
You got it, Frank. What's up?
I kind of agree. I think it's coaching, Joe, because I think he's got to take the handcuffs off him. Like, for instance, look at the Flyers. This year, they seem like they're changing, and there's a lot of the same players. That has something to do with coaching. And you said it yourself, like
Mike Tomlin.
Yes. He said a good coach finds a way to put their players in the best position to succeed. And Sean Payton does it. He does it with Taysom Hill. He does it with Alvin Kamara. He puts them in positions to succeed. And I just think it's coaching. I think he has to look. I think Doug has to get him to look back at the 1917 season and see what he was doing, because Carson is. It seems like he's not even running out of the pocket like he used to.
Well, he's not, Frank, and I think some of that may have been coached out of him, which is, I think, what you're talking about.
But some of it, Frank,
I mean, there are design plays where they could do that more, but I do think some of it, you know, there used to be those broken plays where he would just shrug off a potential sack and then run around and make a play. And Frank, I don't know if he's ever going to be the same athlete again after that injury. I think that's part of it. I don't know if he could do it anymore.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I don't know why Doug don't design some plays. Like, isn't Greg Ward a quarterback? Like, to put him in a position to run some different, like, some option passes, like to do some trick plays of our own?
Well, he was. Yeah, I mean, he was a quarterback back in the day. And, Frank, I appreciate it. Look, they could do that. I mean, he's a part of the roster now. I mean, early in the season, he wasn't, so they weren't going to call a guy from the practice squad to do trick plays. But, yeah, I mean, they could be a little more creative. I thought Doug's play design on Sunday was actually good, and I thought it was his best in a while in terms of getting Carson Wentz out of the pocket, getting him on the run a little bit more. Look, there are doubts in this city right now about Doug. There are doubts here about Doug Peterson. I saw a poll this morning on the morning show where I think Doug, at least when I was listening to Angela this morning, at the time I was listening, around maybe 8:30, Doug Peterson was voted, I guess, the least successful coach in this town right now, or the guy doing the worst job or not the best job. Like, he was fourth among the four coaches in this town. Joe Girardi hasn't managed a game here yet, and he had more votes than Doug Peterson. So there are doubts about Doug Peterson. There are certainly doubts about Carson Wentz. I have lots of them. If you could erase doubts on one of these guys down the stretch, forget going on a run, because that's probably unrealistic at this point. Who would you rather erase the doubts about? Mine, it's clear. I want the doubts about Carson Wentz in my head to go away, because it clouds everything I think about the future of the team. And if he shows me again he can be great, then I will think way differently about the future of the Eagles. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you get aboard. We'll come back. Your phone calls, more thoughts on Zach Wheeler signing with the Phillies. We'll talk to John Jastrzemski from New York up at 8 o'clock on a guy that last year for the Mets was good. He's rarely been great. But the Phillies just gave him one of the biggest contracts in their franchise history. 5 years, $118 million. Zach Wheeler, to put it lightly, I'll say I'm skeptical of the money they gave Wheeler. Good pitcher, but boy, that is a big commitment to a guy that has only shown flashes of greatness. Also on the other side, three question Thursday and a Wednesday. We'll get into that and tell you how you can win. We have a great, great prize tonight. 888-729-9494 gets you aboard on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.